Okay, the scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see that this thing has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them into her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Simon, for reading for us the Gospel of Luke. Good evening, everyone. My name is Pastor Tak Weng. I'm the vicar of this church, and it's my great pleasure to welcome all of you to our gathering this evening. You know, this Christmas Eve service is all about telling the story of Christmas. And we have begun by you guys, all of us, together telling that story through the songs that we sang earlier on. And then the children took it over from us, and with that delightful depiction from the voice of the animals and the voice of the sheep and the shepherd, they took part in telling their story as well. And our brother Simon has just read for us directly from the words of Scripture. But you know, the story of Christmas is not just something that happens a long time ago, captured and preserved in holy writings. The story of Christmas continues to be told in each and every one of our lives. So this evening, for the next telling of the story of Christmas, I have invited a very dear friend of mine, the Reverend Timothy Ewing Chow, and I'm going to introduce him very shortly. And he'll be sharing with us what the story of Christmas means to him personally and to each one of us in our present day and age. And Reverend Tim is no stranger to telling the story of Christmas. He is a pastor in the Chapel of the Resurrection, but long before he became a pastor, he has already been telling the story of Christmas. In fact, when you see him, I'll let you guess how old he is. I want to say to you, he has been telling the story of Christmas for more than 50 years. So I thought whether tonight he will come dressed in Santa Claus, but no, he decided not to. But let's put our hands together to welcome Reverend Timothy Ewing Chow. Come on up, Tim. Take it away.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Wong. We were serving together in chaplaincy. At that time, I think probably they changed the name already. It was the CRSS. Right? And just a few hours more, we'll have Christmas Eve. So I wish you all of a blessed Christmas. And Christmas is a time we give gifts, and I wish I could give a gift to every one of you here this evening, but that's impossible, all right? So I tell you what, I will just pick someone really, really wonderful. This is a special gift from me. All right, let's see. Right. Okay, maybe you. This is specially handcrafted by me for you. Okay. God bless you. And talk about gift giving. I remember years ago when I was pastoring a parish, I innocently stood up and I told my congregation, I regretted later on, I said, if you guys are thinking of a Christmas gift for pastor, I want to tell you that you wouldn't go wrong if you got me chocolates. And I got about 3 dozen chocolate gifts. So much until I had to say, okay, thank you very much. Right? And you know, sometimes we give gifts, we don't really think much about it. So one day a friend received a gift from his other friend during Christmas, and he was a little bit disappointed. Hey, that's all you give me, man? And then this friend said, oh, it's the thought that counts. I want to tell you, when Christ gave us the gift, it was not just the thought that counts. It was really, really action. Okay. And then also, you know, when you give gifts, you find that it is so much easier to choose the right gift if you knew the person you are giving the gift to. Right? My dear wife that the Lord brought home about 3 years ago, I knew her so well. We were married more than 40 years. And whenever Christmas came, I knew exactly what to buy her. Right? People that you don't know, you probably guess, and I hope that is correct. I hope it's correct, right? And then on Christmas Eve, when you gather as family or friends and you exchange gifts, it's always such a delight to see when they open up the gift wrapper and say, wow, this is exactly what I was hoping I will receive. How do you know? And then you look at all the delight on their faces, right? Because it's so wonderful to receive something that you really appreciate. You know what? On Christmas, we want to remember that God knows exactly the perfect gift to give to each and every one of us. Because He knows us so well. He knows us intimately. He knows the exact gift that we all need. And when we truly open our hearts to receive that gift, it will bring such joy to our hearts. And so before we proceed any further, could I ask all of you to join me in a word of prayer that God will speak to us and that this will be such a joyful Christmas for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this evening that every one of us, each and every one of us are gathered here this evening. And Lord, it is such a privilege for me to be able to give the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ to each and everyone that is gathered here. So Lord, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to understand and to receive your love. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So this evening, I'm going to talk about the good news of great joy. And I already mentioned about the greatest gift of all time. Where do I click? I point where? Oh, point there, okay. All right. Okay. I'm the baby boomer generation. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the gift that God has given to each and every one of us is not just a very expensive gift, not a very costly gift. It is the gift of himself to us. Right? A child is born, a son is given. Right? And this immediately shows us the great love of God. Not only the love, but he knows us so very well. In fact, there's another name that was given to Jesus at his birth. And I'm sure most of you will know. It's called Emmanuel, God with us. And I've lived, Pastor Wong Tam Ming was asking you whether you want to guess my age or not. I just passed 70 years old, going on to 80. Okay. I want to tell you that every morning as I wake up, the one thing I always thank God for his health and vigor and energy and joy of the Lord, right? And living all these years, I've discovered that the thing that I need, that many of my friends around me need, is the presence of God. The presence of God. That's why he is called Emmanuel, God with us. So the greatest gift of all time is here, are available. Because you are gathered here this evening because God knows your greatest need. And he has a gift specially prepared for you and for me. And this gift, when you receive it, it will bring you great joy. Now, I want to quickly say, because I have given a limited time. Usually, I take about 1 hour to warm up. No, I'm joking with you. So what's the significance of Christmas? What's the significance of Christmas? We are all gathered here on this Christmas Eve. And actually, Christmas is right at the end of Advent. And Advent, we understand, is actually the meaning is the arrival. We celebrate the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we also then remind each other that one day this Jesus is going to return. And so that's the significance of Christmas. So Christmas marks the ushering in of the kingdom of God into our world that dispels the powers of darkness. So I want you to know that it is more than just celebrating the birth of a baby and the manger scene and the wise men and the shepherds, right? But really, it is actually the coming or the arrival of the King ushering into our world the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, when it comes, will dispel the powers of darkness. It is a time we celebrate the salvation, the deliverance, the healing, the love and mercy of God that brings us freedom, peace, and joy through Jesus Christ. It is actually light entering our world of darkness. And this great tidings of Christmas, light dispelling darkness. That is the good news. Right? And so you've got to understand that the world into which Christ entered, the world into which Christ entered. I've got friends. In fact, I want to say that I'm very, very glad. I'm so excited that I forgot that I actually have our relatives that are here together with me and all of us. And they have come all the way from Canada. Where are my relatives from Canada? Can you wave? All right there. Welcome. All right. They flew all the way in from Winnipeg and Vancouver, right? And all, God bless you all. And the world that Christ entered in, right? In Matthew 4:16, it says, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them, the light has shone. And so this evening, almost about half an hour's time, I'm told that they are going to close one stretch of Orchard Road, okay? I think from Scotts Road all the way to where Paragon is, right? And it'll be just pedestrian traffic, okay? And you look at all the lights and all the shopping and the glare, the glitter, right? And I tell you very often what you see in the external does not really reflect the reality deep beneath the surface. Right. The world today has not really changed much. When Christ entered into the world, he entered into a world where people were sitting in darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is when you are lost. You really can't see where you're going. You really can't see what's in front of you and what is really ahead of you. I remember years ago when my children and I and my dear wife were missionaries in East Malaysia, one of our church members on the weekend said, Pastor, you deserve a break. Why don't this evening I take a boat, bring you all out into the ocean And so we said, oh, thank God. So we went, right, from the river, the pier, we went out into the ocean. And then by the time he was about getting down, he said, hey, Pastor, we better get back to the pier, okay? And then when he went back into the pier, went back into the river, I want to tell you, we got lost. And it became darker and darker. And I want to tell you, those were the days, there were no handphones, okay? No handphones, you get lost. God help you. And I tell you, when it became dark, I was panicking. Right? And thank God, to cut the long story short, somehow a fisherman with a light in the distance shone his light. And I tell you, I really appreciated light. I never before. So the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. What is this darkness? This darkness is not a physical darkness. Although I know even being lost in physical darkness is scary. Right? But this is spiritual darkness. And spiritual darkness is a state of separation from God. A lack of divine enlightenment. Ignorance and sin. In reality, as I already mentioned, things have not changed much today. In the midst of all the glamour and glitz, darkness still covers much of the earth. And today, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate that the light has come. The light has come. And every one of us need to experience that great light. So that's the good news of Christmas. The good news that the light has come upon the light, upon them, the light has dawned. And it's a dawning of a new day, a time of hope, deliverance, and freedom and salvation for all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the good news. This is the gift of God. He knows that the big need that maybe sometimes people don't really want to acknowledge it or are conscious of it, they, without the light, they are in darkness. And God, in His great love and mercy, wants to set the people free. It's just like that night, when that light was there in the distance. I tell you, I already have a very loud voice, but that night, I kid you not, I shouted so loud, I think the city that was 20 miles away probably heard it, okay? Because I said, wow, that's it, man. If not, I'll be lost. And I had my son and daughter with me, 3.5 years old and 5 years old, okay? To get lost in the ocean myself, okay, but with 2 children, I tell you, it was scary. And when I saw the light, I was delighted. And I got onto the boat, I was really shouting for joy. Now, this is what Christmas really means for many of us. Right? Because we have seen that light and we no longer need to be sitting in darkness. This is the gift of God. Tonight, what I'm sharing with you all the time, I want you to go back to this thought, the gift of God, the gift of God. The gift that is perfect for you and for me. So Christmas is basically our God revealing who He is and what He desires for all humanity. Looking at us, He knows exactly what is really going on in our lives, in our world, in every family, every individual, how people are really needing Him more than they would admit or recognize or desire. Going about their lives like the typical Singaporean. We play hard and we work hard, okay? And doing our very best to give our children the best start in life. Right? All this is very important, and we honor parents. We honor fathers and mothers, right, for taking care of your children. But I want to tell you that what really, really is important is to realize that God cares for us even more than anyone else. And He really, really knows what is our need. So even in the scripture reading that was read earlier on, we find that there are three things that we need to emphasize about Jesus Christ during Christmas. That He is our Redeemer, Savior. He is also our Rescuer, all right, our Deliverer, our King. And thirdly, He is our Restorer and Healer. He comes to redeem us, to rescue us, and also to restore us. So let's look at the Redeemer Savior first. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, saving us from our sins. Sin, apart from many other things, separates us, kills our relationship with God. And sin, when it's not dealt with, right, causes us to remain sitting in darkness, lost, not knowing where really we ought to be going, what's really in front of us, right? And Christ came, and He came not only just born as a baby in a manger, but at the end of His earthly ministry, He died upon the cross for you and me. And all of our sins was laid upon Him. And He paid the full price to redeem us from the power of sin. And so right on Christmas morning, it was announced to us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Savior, right? And so this Christmas, we want to announce to you that Christ is the Savior. I remember years ago as I was ministering in one of the churches, not in Singapore, overseas, there was this very tall, handsome, but very proud native. He was 6'2", and he came to the church. I looked at him. Well, I was a little bit worried because he's like a headhunter, okay? Right? But as I preached the gospel, he got saved. And when he got saved, he was really, really transformed. He was a changed person, right? And proud, tall, big person. After he received Christ, I kid you not, every time he was in church service, he would be weeping like a baby. He came to me, he said, "Pastor, so embarrassing." Can you imagine a 6'2" playing? All right. And then one day he came, soon after his conversion, he came to my home and I prayed for him and for his wife for healing. And when I prayed for him, he said, "Pastor, wow, the house that I'm in is so bright." I said, "Ramsey, this is 12 noon." He said, no, it's not just the natural light, it's something different, right? And you remember the hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see." So the redemption of Jesus Christ removes the blindness, and we no longer sit in darkness. He is our Savior and our Redeemer. Not only our Savior and our Redeemer, but He is also our Rescuer. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Christ not only came to save us from our sins, but also to deliver us from tyranny, the power, and the grip of the evil one. He came to set us free. People in bondage sit in darkness. And I want to tell you that salvation is not just forgiveness of sin, but it's also deliverance from the power of the enemy. It's deliverance, okay? And He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, right? From the line in the lineage of David, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. So when Jesus came, He came as the King with the power to deliver us from the powers of darkness. Years ago, my dear wife and I, we were actually wanting to find the help of someone in one of our evangelistic events. And those of you who know my wife, she's always full of ideas. And she said, I think we need to just find someone who is an aerobics instructors, right? Because then I'll get all the ladies, do aerobics, then after that we do the tea talk, talk about spiritual health, right? That's Joyce. I didn't have anyone in our church. So we just drove around town in the mission field. We didn't know anybody. We just stopped and then we saw this Vicky's gym. So Joyce said, let's go up. So we stopped my van. We walked up the steps, three flights of steps. And as we entered the gate of the gym, this young lady was just about to close the gate. And then Joyce said, are you Vicky? She said, yeah, I'm Vicky. Can I come in to talk to you? I said, sure. And then she opened the gate again and went in. And cut the long story short, Joyce said, can you help us just be the aerobics instructors? She was not even a believer yet, you know. She said, okay. And so we had that event. And eventually the Lord also touched her. But the story is this. Deliverance came upon her that day. Because soon after that, she actually shared with us. She said, do you know that day when you, two of you, climbed up the steps? I was about to close the door of my gym for the last time. I was so depressed. I was so upset with life. I didn't find any more reason for living. I was about to shut the door, go down and take my life. And then these two persons came, especially this lady, asked me, you know, can I do something for the church? And then I said, maybe there is another hope, another chance. And right at the 11th hour, God delivered her and saved her. Wonderful, you know. I mean, there are hundreds of gyms in the city, and that was the one place we chose to stop and go up the right time at the right place. And I want to tell you that God is here to deliver, to set you free. Amen? So that you do not need to be sitting in darkness. John's Gospel chapter 10 says, for the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And that life, abundant life, is a life that has been delivered from the grips of the enemy to be set free. There's someone here this evening. I want to pray for you later on, right? Of late, you have been gripped with fear, and it's not a natural fear. It is almost like a demonic fear, and you find it very hard to even sleep at night. If you are here later on during the time of ministry, I would like you to come forward so I can pray for you. So he's our Redeemer, our Rescuer. And that's the wonderful thing about the power of Jesus. He would not only save, he would rule. He would not only redeem, he would reign. That's why in many of the Christmas carols that we sing, I don't know whether you notice that very often much of it also talks about the King. About the King. He's not just a Savior, he's the King. And one of the reasons why the world is in such a mess is because people are still not under the rule and the reign of the benevolent, compassionate, all-wise, all-powerful King. His name is Jesus. This is the Jesus that we celebrate throughout the year, not only during Christmas. Throughout the year, throughout our lives, and the life to come. We hail King Jesus. Now, not only is he our Redeemer and our Rescuer, but he's also our Restorer. So it says, and on earth, peace. On earth, peace. Right? That's what was announced on that Christmas morning, on earth, peace. I want to tell you, as I read that passage again, it amazed me. Do you know that almost everyone in that city were oblivious to what was about to happen? Jerusalem, Bethlehem, all of Israel was fast asleep, but they were not having any peace until Christ arrived. Peace is so badly missing in our homes, in our community, in our society and nations. When will we ever experience the peace we all so deeply long for? Some of you are really having struggle even in your homes. When would there be peace? Why you tell me about Second World War? Because every day in my own home is World War, okay? I want to tell you that there is hope, because peace is not even in the hands of powerful superpowers or this is one thing I always find it funny, the United Nations, the most disunited. I want to tell you, peace is in a person, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And when we experience the peace with God, then we will also come and experience the peace of God. And so I want to declare to you that He is here not only to redeem you, rescue you, but also to restore you to the peace that you deserve to have. So peace is in Christ. For now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, far away, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. He himself is our peace. So when we worship the Lord, tomorrow on Christmas, and it is coming Sunday. By the way, this Sunday is the last Sunday of the year. Don't miss church. When you lift up your hands, maybe you remember what Pastor Tim has told you. Just say, Lord, I just worship you because you are my peace. And Lord, if I am still experiencing such disorder and no alignment in my home situation, Lord, I pray that you come and restore the peace in my life and in my heart. What Christ desires to do for all of us, right, the gift that he wants to give to all of us. As I was praying many weeks now for this service this evening, I believe that one of the main things that he desires is to restore and heal broken hearts, broken lives, broken relationships. You know, recently I bought a very expensive crystal vase, you know. Expensive one, huh? I recommend to you. You know where you get good price reason? Thanks. And I wanted to give it to my friend, so I wrapped it up, bubble wrap, 1, 2, 3, put it on a plane to send it overseas. You know? Maybe it went by Air Asia. By the time I received, my friend opened up and it was shattered into pieces. I tell you, it broke my heart, man. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's the story of our lives, is broken. So valuable, so precious, and yet it is broken and shattered. But Christ has come to restore us. Right? To restore us. Years ago, as I was pastoring in cathedral, we used to run the only night service called the New Life Service. And I remember one evening, during the ministry time, one young, very attractive Chinese foreign lady came in to the service. Was so distraught, you know. And then we prayed for her. Later on, we learned that she was actually a MediaCorp Channel 8 actress. I didn't know her because I'm not Channel 8, I'm Channel 5. We prayed for her. She was in a relationship with someone in Singapore, and that relationship was breaking up. And she was so depressed. She was broken. She was wounded. She just walked along the padang and saw the lights in the cathedral, and she came in. Do you know that Christ's love draws you in? And then we ministered to her. She came for another few weeks. Each time her face changed, lifted up, the light began to shine again. And she was so healed, right, of her brokenness. Cut a long story short, eventually she said, Pastor, I feel called to go back to China. And I won't mention her name because of security. She went back to some place in China, and today I heard she is a church planter and a pastor of maybe 500-600 churches. I said, Lord, not fair. I work so hard. 500 churches and thousands of people are being saved. Tremendous. Which city? None of your business. I don't want to tell you. But really, I tell you, just one person broken, God restored, and her life began to be such a blessing. Can you give Jesus a big clap? He is our peace. Peace. So He is our Redeemer, forgive you of your sins. He is your rescuer, so that you're delivered from the powers of darkness. You walk about in freedom, and He is your restorer, your peace. And because of that, nobody needs to continue to sit in darkness. As I bring the message to a close, you know, one of the stories of Christmas is the fact that because there was a census by the Caesar, every one of the Jews had to return to their place of birth. So Joseph and Mary from Nazareth, they made the long, arduous journey back to Bethlehem. Right? And when they arrived in Bethlehem, it was jam-packed like Christmas Eve on Orchard Road. And all the hotels were fully booked like F1. Can you imagine about to give birth and nowhere, no room? There was no room in the inn, and they found only a stable. Question is there room in your heart for Christ today? There is a more popular carol that we used to sing, Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Christmas is not about turkey. Frankly, I prefer chicken. And no offense, if you already are waiting to go back for your turkey, enjoy yourself. Praise God. It's not about that. It is about Christ being welcomed into our hearts. In all our business, all the earthly pursuits, ambitions, legitimate responsibilities. Praise God. And yet, unaware, sometimes Christ is squeezed out of our lives, and the gift is left unopened. And in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. In other words, he wants to be Christ with us. Emmanuel. Question is, would you say, yes, Christ, I want to also be with you? And I found in my life that God's character is, He will never push, bulldoze His way, force His way into any one of our lives. He's waiting for us to welcome Him and to receive that perfect gift that He has prepared for every one of us. And when we open the door of our hearts, He will come in. And it will be a time of celebration. I will dine with Him. I love it because Christmas is a time we dine with one another. Amen? And that means a wonderful time He wants to have with all of us. What will this Christmas bring to you? Just another year. And tonight, makan, tomorrow, makan, and then that's it, right? And then you begin to maybe watch your weight until Chinese New Year. Would you be remain sitting in darkness? Or will you be prepared to receive the light of Christ and walk in freedom, in peace, and with everlasting joy? This is the great news, the good news of great joy that will be for all people. All over this century, can I just ask you to have your eyes closed and your heads bowed and nobody looking around. And God is here to offer us that gift that will set us free, that will redeem us from our sins, rescue us from the powers of darkness, and even restore our broken lives. For some of you, Christmas, maybe this year, is bittersweet. But God is here to say, for your pain and your brokenness, exchange it for my peace, for my healing, so that you will have the wings that are broken, you will fly again. Live the life God meant you to live. And so while we close in prayer, we just want the Lord to minister to you. No one looking around. I asked the worship team to sing this song, which is one of my favorites, and that is The Divine Exchange.
Right.
God is wanting to offer you that gift. For your brokenness, He gives you His healing and His wholeness, which you receive. So with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, and you just allow the lyrics and the melody to minister to you this evening.
That's
good. Captivated, Lord, for you alone. Captured by your awesomeness of you. Grace and mercy you have shown. I stand in your name.
Hallelujah.
We turn to
the main feet.
I receive the one
in base of God
that I can see. Gentle praise the chains and saints
like we're all straight with his soul
and the the story what was broken, so we may fly again.
Lord, I worship you.
Now I to worship you.
Hallelujah.
Didn't I mean to worship you? It's all right, I find it. Jesus, I am your
Savior. Heaven teach.
Your eyes are fully actually you teaching.
And I make you turn to your
step. Together
and a we just pause now. Just keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. You know that God has spoken to you out of His great compassion and love for you. He's reaching out to you this Christmas. And you know that God is zooming in on you because He loves you. He wants you to open up your heart, receive that gift, perfect gift for you. And you know God is speaking to you, wants to bring the healing, restoration, deliver you from the powers of darkness. I want to pray for you and remember you in prayer. So if you know that God is touching your heart, speaking to you, wherever you are seated this evening in this sanctuary, no one looking around, could you just raise your right hand? Keep it raised, I'll pray for you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, right behind anyone else. You just with that raised hand, I know that you need prayer, I'll pray for you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's someone here, even as I was coming into the service, I felt God said, there's someone here that just developed real serious problem with breathing. Breathe. Right? There's some problem in your lungs and you're having problem breathing. God wants to heal you this evening. If you are that person, would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Amen. Thank you. Folks, I do not want to embarrass any one of you, but I just want to invite you, as the musicians begin to sing this song again, because so many of you raise your hands, it's not possible for me to go to you. Would I invite you to stand? Can we all please stand now? To help the people that I invite to come down. You raised your hand a few moments ago. I would really like to pray for you. Individually, every one of you. And so when you, if you raised your hands a few moments ago, the moment the worship team sings this song, can I invite you to come, leave the place you're sitting and come to the front here so that I can pray for you, okay? I'm not wanting to embarrass you. I really want to pray for you. Can we sing that out? The moment they start singing, you come and I'll pray for you. Come.
My heart is captivated, Lord, by
hallelujah.
A long time to
right behind those of you who raise your hand, you come. Can I pray for you? Come. Come, come. Would you come? Come, the Lord loves you. Just receive that gift God has given to you.
To this.
Hallelujah. Come. Would you come? Yes, thank you. Come, come.
I reach to
you. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you.
Please.
I receive. Hallelujah. Come. Come to the light.
Change the sickness.
Do not sit in darkness anymore. Come.
Restore.
Let the light of Christ shine into your darkness. Dispel the powers of darkness over your life.
Face the
hallelujah. Come. To you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Come. Would you join them? You come. I'll pray for you.
It's a worship.
Come, come.
Your faith. The strength I will see. For as I worship, for as I worship, take me to that place. You need to set me free.
Let's have a more Jesus song.
My heart's captivated, Lord, but I give you alone. Can't you call me your sister and stop me alone? how to buy the grace, mercy you have shown to understand it. I reach to you. I reach to you, the one who makes the blind see. He breaks the chains of sickness, with poverty. Restoring what was lost in need. So it may fall.
Hallelujah. You may still come.
I live to worship.
You need prayer? Please come. I'm waiting. I pray for you. Come here. Scott.
I'm waiting to worship you. Although you're fighting, you're sin. Your face, now I see.
That's it.
For it's time to say you. It's going to be that back. What's the best you can do? Jesus.
Jesus. All of you who still feel in some way under the oppression of the enemy, the Lord is here to deliver you, set you free from every oppression, every fear. This is the last call. I pray for you. You come, and I'll pray for you. You just come.
Full of kindness, it entertains the way we are seen. Oh, side worship.
Sing.